Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Good morning. Today's scripture comes from the Gospel of Matthew. Open your hearts and your minds and hear this great lesson. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Will you pray with me? Eternal and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation and the inspiration in all of our hearts and thoughts this morning be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
This is from heaven said.
A whole new sermon series as we progress our way through the season of Lent heading towards Easter. What we're working on for the next few weeks is an all-church study. Some Sunday school classes are involved in this, some small groups. Both David and I are basing our sermon series on the way. This is a book and a project by Adam Hamilton of the Church of the Resurrection in Kansas. And what it is walking in the footsteps of Jesus. He's taken several trips to the Holy Land and has come back with a series of trying to understand the ministry of Jesus in the actual context of his ministry related to the land itself, related to the archaeology and the realities of ancient Israel. So part of what we will be doing is taking his guidance and chapter headings and preaching sermon series based on the way. Which means we're looking at Israel. We're looking at the ancient Holy Land. One of the interesting things about it is to get a perspective of the size of this place. I mean, it's tiny. It is just a little larger than New Jersey. You can travel anywhere in Israel by car in less than a day. It is that small. People don't quite understand that, but it is very, very small, always has been. And you wonder, how can a place so small be so overwhelmingly in the news? And it seems to have been in the news forever. Well, it's because of the little strip of land that's, I don't know if you can see this very well, but you can't see it very well, but the I'm going to try my little pointer thing. Can you see that little green light? Dancing around right up there. This whole western side of Israel is the Mediterranean Sea. Down here in the small corner over here, this is Egypt. Egypt was the ancient breadbasket of the world, which means most of the world was fed by ancient Egypt. But in order to get goods to Turkey and Europe over here, or to get them east to Babylon, Assyria over here, or Jordan and Syria over here, they had to pass through Israel. And they had to, the ground journey was the road through Israel. Which made it incredibly strategic for all caravans. That's why this was a very important piece of land. Now, where we're going to be spending our time for the next few weeks are the places where Jesus hung out. And so, whoops, Whoa. Punching the wrong button. Here we go. So here's my little green dot. Sea of Galilee up here, which is basically a big lake where Jesus spent most of his time, where Jesus taught, where Jesus lived. Sea of Galilee up here in the top. We're going to spend some time at the Jordan River because that's a key piece. And then we're going to talk a little bit later this morning about what happens down here close to the Dead Sea, down here. Jesus and his ministries took place in the Sea of Galilee, up here, down the Jordan River, to right at the northern tip of the Dead Sea. We'll spend some time this morning there as well. We're talking today about Jesus and his baptism and his temptation. Jesus was born in the Jordan River. He was baptized in the Jordan River. I'll get it. Baptized in the Jordan River. Here we go. These are my pictures. Sorry about my home movies, but these are my home movies. The Jordan River is filled with interesting catfish. But they're also, this is the gathering place where most pilgrims go in the southern part of the Sea of Galilee, where the Sea of Galilee meets the Jordan River. And pilgrims from all over the world every day show up here in order to, in some cases, be baptized. Other cases, to have a remembrance of their baptism. And some cases have a rebaptism. This is one of the primary tourist stopping places for all visitors, Christian visitors, to the Holy Land. Come to the Jordan River and to at least get wet a little bit and maybe take home a sample of the river water to bring it back with you. The reason the Jordan River is so important is that it is the boundary water from east to west. It is the boundary waters by which the children of Israel entered the promised land. That's what makes it one of the most important symbolic Christian symbols. That's why many of our songs sing about the Jordan River. The Jordan River is chilly and cold. It chills the body, but it warms the soul. The river is deep and the river is wide, but there's milk and honey on the other side. Deep, deep river. My home is over Jordan. Deep river, Lord. I want to cross over into Canaan's land. The Jordan River is a symbol of new life, new beginnings. That's why it's the symbol of baptism. It's also the symbol of from death to new life. It's also the powerful symbol of death passing over the river into heaven. It's a critical, important Christian symbol, the Jordan River. And that's where Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. Many people wonder why Jesus was baptized in the first place. Because people believe that baptism, you're baptized for the remission of your sins, for forgiveness. And that why would Jesus allow himself to be baptized when he was sinless? My explanation for that is this, which I believe is for Jesus far more important than just this symbolism of forgiveness of sins. And what helps me with this is this little book. It's called I Am One of You Forever. Now, this is not a religious book. It's not a Christian book. It's a little memoir book by Fred Chappell, who's a novelist from North Carolina. And he writes a book about a little boy named Jess, who's 10 years old, who grows up in rural North Carolina. His dad is a fun-loving, impetuous, kind of, you know, hale, hearty, robust, but a guy who's not big on judgment. But he's a lot of fun. And mother is a very strict disciplinarian, There's grandmother who lives in the house who has her little bit of eccentricities. And then they've got Uncle Luden who comes in every once in a while, who's kind of a strange character. And then they adopted this older teenage boy named Johnson Gibbs. And the story is about just growing up in rural North Carolina with all these kind of fun, crazy, eccentric characters of the family. And he tells story after story about these, about growing up. And at the end of the book, he and his father and Johnson Gibbs and Uncle Luden had gone hunting. And it had snowed in the middle of the night, and it snowed so much that it just wasn't going to be pleasant to hunt. And so they decided to give it up and go home. And Jess remembers watching, you know, his dad, Uncle Luden, all cleaning up the cabin, getting everything ready, packing up the truck to head for home. And Jess is just sitting there, just kind of remembering and just reflecting on the importance of these people in his life. Now, he's sitting at the table, and they've all gone to get into the truck to go home, and he's still sitting there in a kind of pondering. And suddenly, Johnson Gibbs comes back, and he opens the door and says, "Jess, are you one of us or not?" Which is the impulse for the title of the book. Jess, are you one of us or not? I am one of you forever. That is my conviction and belief of why Jesus allowed himself to be baptized in the Jordan River. To say to you and to me and to all, I am one of you forever. That is the essential meaning of incarnation, what it means for God to be with us. Jesus is claiming his identity with us forever. I am one of you forever. Those brothers and sisters in the Jewish faith do not claim that. Brothers and sisters in the Muslim faith do not claim that. This is the pristine, central issue of the Christian faith, that we believe God is one of us forever in Jesus Christ. That's what I believe about the baptism. Now, we move on to the temptation, because they go together. Jesus is baptized in the Jordan River, and immediately, the scripture says, the Spirit of God drives him into the wilderness. Now, when most pilgrims, as I just said, tourists, go to the Holy Land and spend time in the Jordan River, and for their baptism experience, it's up here, just south of the Sea of Galilee. Both scholars, however, do believe that Jesus was actually baptized down here, just north of the Dead Sea. There's good reasons for that, because that's where John the Baptist practiced his ministry. That's where the Qumran Valley is, where the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered, and where we now understand this sectarian group called the Essenes lived. They were down here, and we know that John the Baptist was very influenced by this Essene sectarian group. This is also the area where the children of Israel passed from slavery to freedom, passed over into the Promised Land, right here. So they would have crossed the river right here. And so it means to me that that's exactly where Jesus would have been baptized by John. What this also means is directly across this river is the Mount of Temptation. We are heading down Highway 90 along the Jordan River from the southern tip of the Sea of Galilee towards the wilderness of Judea. This is a very interesting road, because every once in a while when you pass it, you're going to pass livestock. It could be a shepherd and his sheep crossing the road. I've been on this road, and there have been a herd of camels crossing the road. This is ancient Middle East, and they still have shepherds and still have camel caravans. This is the Mount of Temptation. This is the place where most scholars believe where Jesus encountered his three temptations. There is an Eastern Orthodox church on top of this mountain. Tourists continue to go up there. They walk through this wadi or dried up valley area. They cross the Judean desert up this mountain to the Mount of Temptation. If you recall the episode of the temptations, there are three. Temptation to food, temptation to invincibility, and temptation to wealth and power. I believe these are temptations that every one of us deal with all the time. The temptation for food, you know, Jesus was fasting. It was a voluntary fast. He could eat any time. But the temptation was, why? Why don't you just give in to your impulses? Give in to your sensual desires and pleasures, because you can do that anytime. Just indulge yourself. It's a temptation we all deal with every day. The second temptation is the temptation to invincibility. It's this, the devil takes him up on the pinnacle of the temple and he says, jump. Because the scripture says, the angels of God will take care of you and your foot will not be bruised. I think there's times in our life when we think we're invincible. When we think we can do anything and get away with it. The temptation to invincibility is a recognition that, particularly in this time of Lent, that we are mortal. The third temptation is the temptation where the devil shows him the kingdoms of the universe. This is a view from the top of the Mount of Temptation and the vast array of the kingdoms of the world. Jesus says, and the devil says, all this will be yours. Bow down and follow me. The temptation to blind ambition and to the fantasy of wealth and power. And Jesus denies all three. Why is that? How does he do that? I want to talk about attachment and detachment. I think part of our human nature is this constant battle that we all deal with every day. The things we attach ourselves to and the things we detach ourselves from. And some of those things are very critical. We attach ourselves very easily to those things that we desire, that we want, that make us feel good, that make us feel good about ourselves. We attach ourselves to lots of things. We attach ourselves to beliefs. We attach ourselves to persons. We attach ourselves to ideas. We attach ourselves to all kinds of things. We detach ourselves to things that are unpleasant, to things we don't like, to things that are inconvenient, to things that don't make us feel good. We're constantly dealing with things we are attached to and things we wish to detach from. If we were Buddhist, it would all be about detachment. Everything is detachment. But we're not. We're Christians. And there is one thing that God wants us to attach to. There is a primary attachment. That if this attachment is pure, good, and secure, then the others take care of themselves. And that's the attachment we make in our baptism. When Jesus says, I am one of you forever. In our baptism, we say to God, I am one of you forever. When that attachment holds, the rest of our life gets more in balance. But that doesn't mean it's easy, because every day there are temptations to distract us and detach us from that primary attachment. All the time. Attachment and detachment. The call today is for all of us to remember our baptism and remember our primary attachment is to God, which is very much part of the scriptures. The Lord is our God and God the Lord alone, and we shall love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our might. That is our primary attachment. When that is secure, when that holds, then the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune that try to detach us and distract us from this primary attachment of our life will happen all the time. Our prayer and my prayer to all of us is hold fast to that which is good. Live together, pray together, hold one another accountable. Be the church that keeps that attachment secure. And when the temptations come as they will, to be able to have the strength and the grace to hold fast to that which is good. It's the lesson for the day. Jesus in his baptism and his temptation.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.